It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
If you wrap foil around that, just like the little bit of the base part of the banana where the fruit is, wrap foil around that top and they will last longer.
You know, I'm something of a scientist myself.
Who needs your bananas to last longer, though?
Look, I don't want to go to the store every day for bananas.
They're 8 cents each.
What the hell are you talking about? What is going on?
You're going to wrap them in foil?
They're better when they're just a little green. Yeah.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Too much work.
Not that much trouble, Rich.
Too much work.
Says the guy got a spreadsheet with 3,000 fantasy teams.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
You ever make bananas Foster?
Nope.
I haven't either, but I want to. You ever make anything where you're intentionally, like, your pan catches fire? That would be the case with bananas Foster.
Yeah. No.
I'm Don't you kind of want to try that?
No. I'm not that adventurous.
You'd rather buy it than try it? It's my favorite dessert.
I'd have to like it more than I do to try to make it. Like if it were my favorite dessert, then maybe I would run. I might risk setting the pan on fire. But I'm not that crazy. I've had it out a few times. I'm just like, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't prepared well. I don't know. But it's not my favorite.
Remember daffodils? On maple, they would have tableside bananas Foster and strawberries Romanoff, both of which like sort of light a flame right next to your right at your table. That's pretty good. Miss it. Joe Ostrowski with us on the Westher Hotline, BetQL Daily, weekdays with Sam Paniatovic, Sunday mornings with Jason LaConfora, previewing NFL slates. Joe, how are you?
What about Saganaki?
I don't know it.
I'm not familiar with
Flaming
Saganaki.
Cheese? Maybe it's a Chicago thing.
Flaming what?
Cheese.
Cheese.
Ooh.
Never had it?
No.
Okay.
Never heard of it.
No. Yeah. And this guy gets out, Joe.
Not so even at... Well, this is not a high-end thing. It's like you go to the Euro place at the corner, and they also have Saganaki, if it's a restaurant.
I've been to Alinea. Have you been to Alinea?
No.
Do you know it? Grand Ackett's?
No.
It's somewhere in Chicago. I don't know Chicago. I don't know streets.
Yeah.
But a memorable experience for a lifetime going out to eat there.
That's like a waiting list place, right?
I don't know. You got to plan it months out.
I'm unfamiliar. Yeah.
Michael Chiarello was at our table. It was like you start with a big long table, and then the first course happens. The second course, you go into the kitchen. They're pouring cocktails. You come back out. The room's been all rearranged. The place is amazing. Anyway.
Wow.
Joe, worker here, I sent you a list of topic ideas for today, but I have one on my mind right now that is not on that list.
Okay, is it Keeneland? I don't have a race for you today.
Right.
Wow, I forgot about that from last Friday, right, with you and Sam.
Did not need that to be a free roll, Joe. Again,
yeah, really.
It was very generous.
Awful nice of you, but yeah.
No, it's not even Breeders' Cup. We were just talking about the Texans, and I looked up their schedule. I could see them falling apart. I don't think it's a great team. They play some tough ones here. You know, they're an underdog tonight. We'll talk about that. So I went hunting for unders on their season, but I can't find alt lines anywhere. Is that over? Am I going to have to play it at 11.5 to find any action on the Texans like this.
For the win total, you want to play the under for the season?
Yeah, I might go under 9.5.
That's probably better than trying to pick somebody else to win that division. Because that's the problem there. Yeah, it is at 11.5. It's heavily juiced to the under. So that tells you a story.
That's why I don't want it.
Yeah, they don't want to go to 10.5. I'm sure you could find an alt where you can get a little plus money at 10.5. I'll take a look for you. Okay. I understand why. Are they overvalued? Of course they are. They're 6-2, and their point differential is plus 9. now you have, of course, Diggs out for the year, which impacts tonight. Nico Collins, they're thinking he'll be ready for next week. But, yeah, it is a team that I'd like to fade. But that's probably the way you do it, on a week-to-week basis. And then if you want to go big picture, you go under on the win total. Because Titans, Jaguars, and I don't like what's happening this week with the Colts, even though I think it's good short term for Flacco, just the stuff we're hearing out of there in that locker room, I don't like, and I don't trust the Gus Bradley defense, so it's not like I can sit here and tell you that the Colts are going to catch them and win that division.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel, I felt like Houston was getting overhyped all summer, and I know we didn't spend a lot of time together in the summer, Joe, and only started right back up here weekly once football came around. I mean, I don't know. I'm not here to take a victory lap. They're 6-2. I mean, who knows? They could still win 12 games. We'll see, even if they're all by 3 points or less. But I thought there often is, I think, a hurry. You got a rookie quarterback who shows up and just does what Stroud did. It's like the whole production gets anointed. And last year, they really didn't beat anyone, and their point differential was pretty crummy on the season, even though they had a nice year. I just did not ever really feel like they belonged up there with the Chiefs and the Bills and the Ravens.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And what we were hearing is MVP conversation. He's in the top five. The odds were having him in the top five. And, yeah, you get all these awards, and people like to think, okay, this just continues. It's time for the next step. No, it's not that easy. It's not how it usually works, not in this league. You're in an easy division, so it's a soft landing for them. But I would agree. So what do you do there? They're probably going to be in the playoffs. And like we were just talking with Mike, you could also just wait until they're in the playoffs and then go against them in that first round. Whatever that matchup is, I would probably do that. But they were absolutely overhyped. And then what's happened to the conversation about how did their OC not get a head coaching job? Like, we're not having that conversation this year. We are still with Ben Johnson, but we're not doing it with the Texans. And now they're in a pickle, man, with receivers. So you make the move for Diggs, and they were applauded for that. And you really need Nico Collins to come back. But now what do you do? Because they are putting so much on Mixon. And I wasn't positive it was going to work as well as it has so far, but will it in the second half of the season? I think that's certainly a fair question. They've been dealing with a lot of injuries on the defensive side of the ball as well, but based on what we've seen on the field this year, I don't look at them and say Super Bowl contender like many do.
Mixon, as you said, it's been a heavy workload. Damian Pierce stepped back up to be his backup. He's out again. He's hurt again. They traded Akers away. So there really isn't anything sort of soft landing-wise there if they were to cut into Mixon or try to, spread him out a little bit to save him. And they can't pass protect. So, yeah, you might have guessed by now that I'd be on the Jets tonight. And you often, Joe, mentioned Evan Abram's name with some of these great statistics he comes up with. He was on our show for a year or two talking about this stuff, too, years back. And he has a thing about how it's the seventh game since 1990 where the disparity in the standings was this great, 6-2 versus 2-6, yet the worst team in terms of record was favored.
Favored, yeah.
And those teams are 6-0 in those games.
The favorite is 6-0?
Yes, with the worst record. The Jets, yeah, in this case.
Trust the betting market. And now we're at 2.5. So we're knocking on 3, which a lot of people are going to look at and be surprised. As far as this game, it's the pros are betting the Jets. They bet them before too, so I'm not saying that they're always right. So, but yeah, the public is going to come in and see Stroud, and yeah, they're dealing with injuries, but so are the Jets. They have a few defensive starters out, and they're going to take the Texans as a public dog. That's just what's going to happen in this game. And, Obrecht's still looking for his first win since he became the head coach. You know, what's interesting is this Texans coaching staff hasn't dealt with a short week before, and it's a short week on the road. We've said this before, Jets are certainly in that desperate spot, but if you look at the teams that they've lost to, minus the Patriots last week during this losing streak, they're not bad. It was San Francisco before everybody got hurt. It's Minnesota, of course, the Bills, Steelers, a lot better than people expected, Denver better than what people expected. So maybe some of these losses aren't as bad as they appear to be.
Also, yeah. Field goal games where the field goal, the Jets were missing kicks, and they put their kicker on IR now, so it'll be somebody new tonight.
Right, they got Zuerlein, a practice squad guy that they're going to elevate for tonight and try to get Zuerlein healthy. Yeah, like, you know, something else to keep in mind tonight. I mean, Houston, those edge guys, Anderson and Hunter, I mean, they're nice, and the Jets aren't great up there either.
Nope. Yeah, there could certainly be some pressure there. As far as tonight, Sam is rolling with the Jets. I'm staying away from the side as far as that goes. If I had to, I would pick the Jets. It would be Jets or nothing for me. But Joe Mixon props, we talked about it. Where else do they go? Is Tank Dell going to get a million targets? Dalton Schultz? They've been leaning on Mixon. He's been getting 25 carries. This past Sunday, he had 29 touches. I know for a veteran, maybe days later, you don't want to lean on him that much, but I don't know what else they end up doing. 20.5 rushing attempts is the prop. 81.5 for rushing yards. I think that's a pretty good look. He's an odds-on favorite to score a touchdown. I wouldn't tell you to go minus 135 on that. I'm looking at the rushing yards, but I expect him to get the majority of the looks like mm-hmm. he has been since Nico Collins has been injured.
With Joe Ostrowski, Mike Schoep, and the Bulldog on WGR, the Bills are a 6-point favorite at home against Miami. I feel like it's got to be pretty tempting to give the points and hammer the Bills in this game. The dilemma I always face, though, is why is it only 6? You know, is that what makes it a bad idea? That's how I just get twisted up trying to pick any game almost. What does that number say to you?
Well, I think it would be a lot different if Miami looked better into his first game last week. That was against a bad Arizona defense. Not a bad team overall, but they are a bad defense. And Tua and company had their struggles. Like Tyreek was celebrating the return all week, and they just fell flat. All around, defensively and offensively as well. And in those first couple games, you know, Tua had his struggles even before the injury. I wonder about this. For me, it would be Bills or nothing. I would lay it. I'm not taking Miami as a dog. I look at McDaniel, and I feel that he's been exposed a little bit. That the true great offensive minds in the sport, even when dealing with backup quarterbacks, they find a way. Whether you're talking about LaFleur or somebody else, mm-hmm. they find a way to at least be competitive. And they were completely non-competitive when Tua was out. I think that was a bit telling. And when could he have returned? I don't know. Maybe for optics, he had to go on IR right away. You know, people were saying that he probably could have played earlier, but, you know, they were probably forced there where they have to go on IR given the situation. And I was unimpressed in a matchup that was plus for Miami last week. And you guys know all about the history. You've been talking about Tua versus Allen, Tua on the road, Tua against good teams versus bad teams. That's what the Dolphins do. They beat up on the bad teams. Then they struggle against the good teams. This is his first true road game of the year. Yeah, for me, guys, it would be Bills or nothing. I understand the concern, but yeah, this is an opportunity for the Bills to kind of put the division away, sitting right in the middle of the season.
It's
the reality.
It's Halloween today. It's kind of crazy talk. Joe, how much, if any, I mean, recognizing that all this sort of sentiment is baked into the lines and the, you know, people are paying attention, I feel like this game is a big referendum on who needs it more, right? I feel like if the Bills drop this game and Miami is viewed as their season is on the line, given what the division looks like currently, if the Dolphins get it, I feel like it's going to be they wanted it more. You know, their backs were against the wall. The Bills had breathing room. How much credence, if any, do you put into that?
It's something. It's always a tough game to play, though. Because what you end up doing is sometimes you try to squeeze that narrative into a storyline behind a pick you already made. Like in your mind, you were going to pick that team anyways, and then it just conveniently fits your narrative a little bit. Because if you do it with one team, you got to do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how much do you do bounce backs? How much do you do this team needs it more? Okay. Does that mean they're going to be trying harder? Does that mean they're trying harder than they do most times? It's always a tough question. The bye week, we've seen teams struggle coming off the bye, but hey, they should be going to school on themselves and their next opponent for the next 2 weeks. Like, they should always be performing well. The reality is that is just not the case. So I understand the thinking, you need it, but like the Jets playing tonight, how many weeks have we been saying, gotta have it, season on the line, mm-hmm. This is it. Do or die right now, and they've come up short. So just because you want it doesn't mean the team on the other side is going to let you have it.
We've learned from you, Joe, through our conversations how, you know, maybe a novice is thinking point spread, over-under. We talk futures bets often enough, but first half, second half, first quarter, player props, there's so much out there. The Philadelphia Eagles, who has scored the last touchdown in the first quarter of a game for the Philadelphia Eagles in the regular season? Julio Jones. Which, do you even remember him playing last year for Philadelphia?
What just happened?
They do not have a point in the first quarter yet this season, which seems amazing. They're not the worst team. Are you profiting? Is there something to do with this?
I'm not a first quarter bettor. But I understand there are some people that lean into that. They take a look at some quarterbacks that really struggle in the second half, and same thing with the first half. I don't know. Is it a thing? Like, that's the big question. This is not an awful offense. It's not. And they actually figure things out in the second half. So if you go to the third quarter, the Eagles are the sixth best scoring offense. In the fourth quarter, they're the sixth best scoring offense there as well. So is it because of the game script? Poor game planning. It could be a number of things. So I looked at the other teams that are really low, that have really struggled in the first quarter. Some of it makes sense. Some of it seems random. So 31st in the NFL in the first quarter scoring is the Chicago Bears. 1.4 points per game. Let me tell you, that makes perfect sense. You have a rookie quarterback. You have one of the worst play callers in the league in Shane Waldron. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but a few weeks ago it became public that he doesn't do the script. And then all of a sudden, after people were just screaming about it, like, what are you doing? This is what all the great play callers do. Then he decided, okay, I'm going to start doing the script, planning those first couple drives out. So that makes sense. But 30th is the Rams with Sean McVay. I guess that makes some sense because they just got their receivers back. Also Jacksonville, Denver with Sean Payton, the Giants with Daboll. Some offenses that have issues. So sometimes it makes sense, sometimes it doesn't. But to answer your question, no, I'm not profiting because I'm not a first quarter bettor. I look at that and feel that it can be random and the possessions can be lopsided and that can get you in the end. But I understand that there are a lot of people that do this with the NBA and the NFL.
How about Detroit Green Bay? Are you buying into the narrative about how teams are terrible 1 week after playing Detroit? I guess that's not this game, because we're talking about Detroit Green Bay. But I guess that's two questions now. Jordan Love might be back for the Packers. That's a great matchup. It would be Jared Goff's first outdoor game of the year, by the way, at Lambeau. But then also that narrative on the Lions is kind of interesting.
Yeah, so I'm just a little bit south of Green Bay. And I'm sure it is by you guys. I can't believe how warm it is.
Yeah.
Every other year in Halloween, it is cold and it's raining every single year. And then this week, it's been in the 80s. So I don't think the weather is going to have a big impact. We'll check on the wind, but I don't really see that. So this line has come down. It was Detroit this morning, -3.5, where it's been most of the week. But it seems to be picking up momentum, the idea that Jordan Love is going to play. Someone that tracks it, the Packers play a lot of games with their injury report, that there will be guys that will be out, number of their top players, Wednesday and Thursday, and then all of a sudden Friday they practice in full. Everybody's ready to go. So you'll see a lot of movement there. It's interesting because where we were at the start of the year and the difference between Love and Willis is very different than where we are now, because Willis stepped in and they won a couple of those games and he looked pretty darn good. So I like Green Bay in this spot. We'll see, but I need to know the starting quarterback, and the number certainly matters. But the betting market is screaming, okay, we think Jordan Love is going to play in this game because it means so much to Green Bay. This is the team that they're trying to catch in the division. So, yeah, that idea, certainly, I can buy into it. And look at the numbers. Goff is terrible outside. Most games this year, home or road, they're indoors, controlled climate. But he's a different player outdoors. And so that would impact that trend that you brought up, playing the Lions in the following week. So that would be the Titans, right?
Yep,
and
that's
Titans
right.
are, is it three and a half point favorites?
New England.
Which is really interesting. That's hard for me to lay points with the Tennessee Titans.
I don't know who the quarterback is for either side in that game.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I don't know how much
it matters. Right.
With those two teams. Is that a thing? Possibly. It's not enough of a sample size for me. But so teams, after playing the Lions, they're 0-6 straight up. They're 0-6 against the spread. Not only are they not winning or not covering, they're getting their butts kicked. These are not even close, losing by 4 or 5 scores. And I was looking at the teams that we're dealing with and who they were playing in the following week. It kind of makes sense with some, not so much with others. Like the Rams, they lost Cup.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
So they go to Arizona, and they got smoked. Tampa Bay, they go against Denver. Arizona against Washington. We didn't know Washington was going to be that good. Over the last couple weeks, last few opponents, there was one with Dallas, but they go on a bye, and then they lose to San Francisco, a team they always lose to. And the most recent one was Minnesota. Then they have the short week on the road against the Rams, which felt like a kitchen sink game, and everybody's coming back. So I do think there's some context here, but the idea that they beat up their opponents, I understand where people are coming from. The same thing has been said about San Francisco in recent years.
Hey, Joe, real quick before you go, did anything to report from baseball season ending, World Series ending last night?
Yeah. Wow.
Were the Dodgers not the preseason favorite?
Yes, they were. They were the favorite majority of the season. It was going back and forth with the Yankees and the Dodgers. Well, you have that fan, for one thing, the other day, that was ripping the ball out of Mookie Betts' glove. Mm-hmm. That was a whole thing. But what Freddie Freeman accomplished was just so impressive. He ends up being the MVP of the series. He hits a home run in each of the first four games. He tied a record for most RBIs in a World Series with 12. In 5 games, he had 12 RBIs. He was 35-1 to be the MVP going into the series.
Wow.
Because nobody thought he was healthy.
Right, he had a bum wheel, right?
Yeah, he sat down a game or two in the championship series, and he had extra time to rest, and boy, did he just dominate. So that was amazing. Ohtani, a lot of guys were injured. Ohtani was injured. He wasn't able to do much throughout the series. But yeah, it wasn't one of those scenarios where it's baseball. Pick anyone. Maybe you'll hit a long shot. We had the 2-1 seeds in the very end, and it quickly transitions to, if you're looking at next year, where's Juan Soto going?
Mm.
Where's Corbin Burns going?
Mm-hmm.
Immediately after the game last night, he said, I'm willing to talk to anybody. So I don't know that he's going to be returning to the Yankees. But I would look at that and say, okay, don't just take the favorites next year. It is still baseball, and you still see some random things happen.
Right on. Yeah, that walk-off grand slam in game one didn't hurt Freeman either. You know, they weren't all just sort of garbage time or anything like that. They weren't really any of them.
No, maybe. Right. The other ones were all in like the first inning.
And the Yankees controlled that game in the first half. It's 5-0, and then you have one. We've all watched it. It felt like I was coaching, right? Because
right.
I've seen us give them six outs
kicking
on the other
side. Kicking
the
ball all over the infield.
Guys, right. One bad inning again. One bad inning got us. That's how I felt. But, yeah, even with the pros, that's what it was. One bad inning, they gave them six outs, and the Dodgers took advantage.
Joe, thanks as always. I'll be listening tomorrow.
Thanks, guys.
Joe Ostrowski, BetQL Daily. And BetQL Sunday mornings with Jason Lockenfora previewing with this week, week 9, in the NFL, including Bills, Dolphins. We will look for your calls again after a break to talk about Sunday, what the Bills represent to Miami. Is this a good win if they win, a bad loss if they lose? 803-0550, just a couple of topics we've played with today. Sal Capaccio joins us at 5. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
I think the main thing, you know, our philosophy is defend every blade of grass. So, you know, once we get down there, everything gets a little tighter. Run fits get a little tighter. The spacing in the back end for the pass game gets tighter. And then obviously Bobby's done a great job of, you know, really studying that stuff and putting us in the best position. So, you know, when we're out there, we're in position to make plays. And I feel like, you know, in most of the situations that have come up so far down there in the red zone, guys have stepped up and, you know, really just made plays.
Terrell Bernard, we'll see about his status as we get closer to Sunday afternoon, the annual visit from the Miami Dolphins. Temperatures may be in the 50s for this game, nothing like right now, but definitely could be worse. 78 I had today on my computer here.
Yeah, I saw Patrick Hammer say that it got to 78 eventually here.
The Bills had that amazing NFL record streak of games where they either won or lost by 6 or less, or was it 7 or less?
Six is the number I have stuck in my head, 6 points or less.
They lost the game to the Steelers in the opener by 7, but that would have been before
that Colts game? Yeah, that was that same season.
21 season?
Yeah, I think that's right. I can look, hang on.
Well, I went through and counted, all right, so the Baltimore game happened. But games have happened since, and there were plenty of games before the one loss that stood out against Indianapolis, what, 3 years ago, or 2022?
That was the 21
season.
Yeah, and they were both in that same year, the Pittsburgh game and that Indy game.
So I changed it to 7 points because of the Steeler game. And by my count, if you go back the rest of 21, they don't lose another game that year by 7 or more, or by more than 7. The Steeler game in week 1 is the only one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the previous season, 2020, that's COVID, that's the win streak to end the season. The loss in Arizona predates that, but that was on a Hail Mary. Then there were games before that. All the way back to the home loss against Kansas City by 9 that year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the game after that to right now. And by my count, that's 68 games, and the Bills have lost 2 of them by more than 7. Colts and Ravens, regular season. It's not as fun as a streak, like a perfect streak like that was before the Baltimore loss,
right.
0.
Right.
But it is 2, and it's 66-2 for this. You know, it's 2 losses by more than 7 in 68 games, which is 4.25 seasons. Or just less now because they changed the math.
Seems pretty good.
It's amazing.
Seems pretty good. Yep.
This team just almost never, even the Baltimore game, we kind of all thought the Bills were coming back, right? I mean, they were down. Then you have the Allen fumble and
right.
Baltimore gets back at it. But the Ravens have been shaky with leads.
Yep, they have. Sure.
Didn't happen.
It didn't happen, and I remember talking with Eric Wood about it after the game, and I thought he made the right point, because I know how I felt too. Like, you're watching the game, and it was so crooked right away. I mean, 87 yards first play, just like, oh man, this isn't going to be a long day. But they get the big play to Shakir, and Johnson scores running around the end, and then they get the ball back, and it's like, oh, you know, we're cooking here. But they really weren't cooking. It was like a busted play to Shakir, and then they, you know, walked in for the touchdown. I mean, they got their point. They earned that, but it wasn't like they'd put something together or figured something out. They just, you know, Allen made a Superman-type play, and then they scored. And then they got the ball back, and a few plays later, they called that, you know, that disaster trick play. So I don't know how really, like, competitive they were about to be in that game. It maybe was fluky that they were in it at all, even. I think you could argue that side just as much as, oh, well, if they don't call that trick play and they just keep marching and score, well, of course. But you got to march and score. Like, a part of the reason you call the trick play is because nothing else is working, right? Our normal stuff is getting us beat so far, so maybe we can mix this in and this little desperation time. So anyway, whatever. I'm splitting hairs and talking about a game from 6 weeks ago.
No, it's really a moot point, right? Because it's 68 games. We could find a handful of them where, if this had happened, you know,
right.
Maybe the Bills would have lost by 7 that day or by 8, whatever. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But it's still twice in 68 games.
Which is incredible.
Which is incredible. Like, I would think that might be a record, too. Although they don't probably have a chapter for two or fewer losses by 7 or more than more than 7. I have to get it right. The Steeler loss that is within that, in the opener that year, was by 7 points. I mean, what's the difference, though? Mike is next. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. Happy Halloween. It's been a while.
All right. Hey, good to hear from you.
I've been very critical of Joe Brady for the last beginning of this season, end of last season. But I really think that he has turned the game around, his thinking around, from going from 19 rushes on 24 plays against Houston. Something clicked, I think, at halftime of that Titans game, because we're down 10-7. We're running the ball on first down consistently more than passing. Josh is consistently stuck in second and long situations, game in, game out. And he changed up the offense halftime of that game, and I was so impressed. And it continued on to this last game. And I just hope it continues. He had become so predictable for a stretch during the Baltimore, Houston, Jets, Titans first half, and then everything changed, it seems, at halftime of the Titans game. Josh throwing the ball more on first down, moving the ball, that made the runs more effective when they went on first down, because the other team didn't know that they were running on first down like they had all the time. And I'm just very impressed by how he's grown the last few weeks.
Okay. Well, I can certainly see that. I sort of feel the way I did after Jacksonville, which is, like, the Jacksonville game was, they threw it like crazy, and that was a big departure. And it wasn't enough of a sample to know that they were different. What is different now is that Amari Cooper is on the team. And whether that's the reason for this or whether this is the reason for that, either way, like, it's a different looking receiver roster with him on it, of course. But I'm not, you know, Seattle down guys, Tennessee, just injuries in the secondary. I think just every game is different. And I do hope it continues, this trend. I guess against the Dolphins, I was seeing Mina Kimes on this. The only way to move the ball this year through the air against Miami is down the field.
Over the top.
So are the Bills prepared to go into this game and do that? I think heart of hearts, it's still a team, probably a coordinator, a head coach, that want to run the ball first and feel that if they can do that, they'll win. But you're right. I mean, they've adjusted, and that's what you need
right to
see.
And if nothing else, I don't think we're going to turn back into a team that's throwing it, you know, 60% of the time. And even the neutral game situation, game script type stuff might not ever get back to where it was. And I don't know that the whole league is back to where it was in 20 and 21, just because it always ebbs and flows. But what the last couple of weeks have have given to me anyway, I would say, is that they should have faith that when they want to slash need to, they've got a passing game that they can count on, and they should trust Allen. Sure, he's had plays that could have been turnovers that weren't. Okay, so there's some luck in that, and maybe you'll get dinged a few more times here along the way. Okay, you've always managed to survive that anyway, so I don't want to be scared of that. I mostly just think when the matchup dictates it, I feel like they have got answers now. And I think Cooper is a big part of that. I think Coleman's development, how much they appear to trust him. No receiver on the team played more in the Seattle game than Keon Coleman did. Even Mac Hollins and all his blocking prowess did not outsnap Keon Coleman. I'm being a little cute here. He didn't outsnap hardly anyone in the game, actually. But I just think they've got more. With Cooper here now, they've got more that they can really count on and trust. And, of course, that includes Shakir, too. I just feel like they've got answers now when they need them slash want them.
Is this a game where they're going to need to score? What is the total?
I mean, I don't know. I've thought that already five or six times during the season. Like, oh, they're going to get dragged into this game where I don't know. I mean, they could hold Miami to 13 points, and I would not. I'd be impressed, but I would definitely not be surprised. They have shown an ability to do that. You know, the dam could break at any second here, and Miami could put up 30 easily. They are explosive. They've got the most speed all around the skills in the league. So that's a team that can get after you, but the Bills have had the antidote to that. I mean, they just have. Even in games that the Bills aren't maybe dominating, it's like even garbage time stuff doesn't really happen for Miami in some of these games.
Last year, week four.
They just get destroyed.
6-49, so 27.5 to 21.5. It's a nice, it's a healthy Bills number. Miami last in the league in points, but doesn't really tell you what you need to know, because when they lost to I remember the stat I found, how last year they famously scored 70 points in one game, and this year they had 70 points total through six. So he's back, and really I think you can throw that out. We'll have, Mike's Fresh Picks coming up. Sal Capaccio at 5. One spread pick, you know, game pick. One prop bet idea for this week, and then a fantasy play as well. At least that's what I want it to be. I've got a little time to tweak it. Stay tuned for that. Sal Capaccio 2, Mike Schopp and the Bulldog, WGR. Welcome back. You have not missed Sal. He'll be on with us in less than 15 minutes. Mike Schopp and the Bulldog here. Thanks for listening. Happy Halloween. Things are getting revved up out there, I bet. My family is on their respective ways to their preferred locations here for trick-or-treating activities. They're almost, my son's almost too old. If you can ever be too old, he's almost there, but not yet. 15?
I definitely get 15-year-olds on my porch every year.
Yeah.
I don't know when. I think once our boys got to high school age, I think they stopped going out. But lots of kids that age come to my house. So
yep.
I'm not judging.
Can't sneer at that age, I think.
Right.
37, I think, is a little old for Halloween trick-or-treating.
Yeah. I wouldn't feel great about that.
No. It's time now for Mike Schopp's Fresh Picks. Who is this guy? Brought to you by Umi Sushi and Seafood Buffet on Transit Road. Here we go. I got a pile of them.
A pile?
Kind of a pile. I like the Jets tonight. You know, pretty four stars on the Jets. Mm. Again, I'll mention how, and this is going to sound like me making excuses as somebody that planted a flag over and over on them this year, how costly their kicker has been to their season. Greg Zuerlein, he has missed kicks in one score games, including the Bills game. I recognize Tyler Bass missed a field goal and an extra point in that game as well. Zuerlein, I think, missed two field goals.
Yes.
In that game, they're putting him on IR. I'm not sure that means he's injured, but like they're done for now. So a new kicker 2-6 with a minus 20 point differential is pretty rare. So Jets with minus 2 or 2.5, I guess now, against the Texans. Speaking of the Texans, C.J. Stroud is a tough start. If you're like-minded about this game tonight, it's been this kind of year. Stroud, I would put behind some of these quarterbacks we just stopped liking years ago, but now are back on the scene. Of course, that would include Jameis Winston. Cleveland has the Chargers at home on Sunday. That would include Flacco at Minnesota. I think I'd want to wait. You know, that's more of a close one, but I just do not like Stroud in this game, and it's tough because you drafted him in fantasy like quarterback 8 or thereabouts, but Stafford is in front of him now, I think, at least for this week.
Darnold
against the Colts, yes. That's more of like a run way ahead. The Colts are easy to run on, but I would think at home, that's a pretty soft matchup for him, so definitely him. Mayfield, definitely, against the Chiefs. I mean, not as obvious, but still.
Right.
And even Derek Carr coming back. I think in a vacuum, I would take all of those guys over Stroud tonight. Losing Diggs, they run the ball all the time anyway. It just doesn't smell good to me. Fantasy is kind of a disaster at wide receiver. Tons of injuries. Depending on how serious your league is, you might be in a league unserious enough where Josh Downs is sitting on waivers. And that's a guy with Flacco that's pretty much a must start, I think, unlike the case with Richardson. Jalen McMillan in Tampa is in that spot now with Evans and Godwin out. Evans might be back within a month. They also have a deep dive guy named Rakeem Garrett, who, if you're in a very serious league, you might want to just keep him in mind, somebody who could get like downfield targets from Mayfield. And if tonight interests you, John Mechie, I think, would be the receiver for Houston that I would pick over Robert Woods. And Hutchinson is the other guy. I think I like Mechie more than the other two. If that's pretty desperate, though. I mean, I wouldn't want to do that. I'm not even wanting to play Stroud. One more tight end. Tight end can be so boom or bust and really frustrating. But Will Disley of the Chargers starting to get targets there. And the Chargers are live. They're at the Browns. You know, they'll probably be an underdog there. I'll check real quick. They are favored. I was too quick there. Favored by a point and a half. Chargers at Cleveland?
That's a little surprising.
I mean, the Browns are 2-6 as well.
Well, yeah.
But, yeah, Disley is starting to matter a little bit in an offense with Quentin Johnston missed last week without obvious, you know, target hogs. So, got a few picks and thoughts you can play with there. Sal, coming up after sports, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents.
Step up your tacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.